said just fought that no changes should be made to Measure 11, but these were very minor changes, and they dealt with the juvenile crimes. So that is a little background of Measure 11 and 10. And do you guys have anything to add to that?
Yeah, if I could piggyback off of that. Just to correct a little bit, with the parole, you are, after your sentence, serving your time for this Measure 11, you are on parole afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it kind of goes hand in hand because once you're on parole, you have supervision fees. Mm-hmm. For myself, it was $40 a month. But you kind of look at everything. You get charged. You now have these adult records. You have felonies on your record. For me, I have two felonies. So after you get out, you have to find a job. It's one of your requirements on parole or at this point parole. And you have to pay fees. But if you look at a lot of different individuals, that's a hard thing to do because it kind of defeats the purpose and it defeats yourself. And what happens is you can't pay your fees. Your fees either get sent to collections afterwards or you get parole violation for it. And then you go back to jail. Mm-hmm. And it's a cycle that a lot of people, I mean, it becomes daunting to try to get out of. It's a race. It's a rat race type idea that really, really difficult to get out.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about Senate Bill 1008.
Yes.
And yeah.
So Senate Bill 1008, it will reform Measure 11 for 15, 16, and 17-year-olds. It'll make the juvenile system the default placement of youth unless a judge decides to transfer youth into the adult system. It will also establish a process where all youth who are convicted in adult court have access to a second look hearing, which is like halfway through the sentence, at which time a judge will determine whether or not the youth could safely serve the remainder of the sentence under community supervision. It will also require additional review before the youth with a long sentence would be transferred from Oregon Youth Authority facilities to the adult prison system at the age of 25. And last, it will eliminate life without parole sentences for crimes that were committed if you were within this age range.
Yeah. So Kenny, you talked about, so one of these things under that Senate Bill 1008 would reform is having a second look. And it would establish where all youth who are convicted in adult court have access to a second look hearing halfway through their sentence. Right. And the judge would determine whether you can safely serve the remainder of your sentence under community supervision. Now, you talked about that. At 3 years, you were done, right?
Yeah.
So do you think that this would have served you, having a second look?
Definitely. Without a second look, it's like a lot of people in there feel hopeless. Like, you know, like it's like whether I do good, it doesn't matter. I'm still stuck in here. You know, whether I'm bad, it doesn't matter. I'm still stuck.
No incentive to do
right
to move it forward. Yeah.
For me, if I would have had that, I know for sure I would have been home because there's a lot of people that do what they need to do in there. I was doing what I needed to do after a while. You know, the first year kind of, you know, got settled, you know, and to pretty much to help me get through what I was going through, I was going and mentoring other youth in there. And they would move me from unit to unit, like living units, to help the other youths there.
Yeah, how were you helping?
I would mentor them. From mentoring, tutoring, just stuff like that. If they need someone to talk to, like when they're upset, they would refer the kids to me. And wow. I would like keep the unit cool. So And a lot of the staffing, a lot of the staff there would say, like, oh, do you have a second look? And it's like, nah, like, I'm just doing this because I want to help other people get through this, especially people that are, like, just now getting here, you know, and they have a long period of time here, too, and they're young, you know. They need someone to talk to. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It must seem like at 15, 16, and 17, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. It must seem like death.
Definitely. You don't feel like you're coming home.
Yeah. So, and one of these reforms under Senate Bill 1008 also is to make the juvenile system the default placement for youth. Make the juvenile system, instead of going into the adult system, make the juvenile system the default placement for youth, unless a judge decides to transfer the youth into the adult system. But it would require the district attorney to request a hearing to make ask that the youth be transferred into the adult system. Yes. So it would make it a default placement for youth to go into the juvenile system. Mm-hmm. And then in Oregon, when a youth turns 25 and they're serving time in the youth authority, the Oregon Youth Authority, if they will age out of the Oregon Youth Authority at 25 and be transferred to an adult prison, even if they have 1 or 2 years left on their sentence.
Yep.
They are transferred to an adult prison. So one of the reforms under Senate Bill 1008 would require an additional review before a youth with a long sentence would be transferred from the Oregon Youth Authority into an adult prison at the age of 25. And I think Oregon might be one of the few or the one of the only states that does allow kids to stay in the juvenile system until age 25. I think something mm-hmm. like yeah. that. But then another thing also, to eliminate life without parole sentences for youth, and that is, how many people are in our adult prisons right now who committed a crime at 15, 16, 17, and are in there for life. And as you said, Kenneth, they did their time already, 2, 3, 4, 4 times over already, and they've changed, they've grown. They committed this crime when they were very young, and they're serving life sentences, and there's some guys down at the Oregon State Penitentiary, for instance, that are doing some wonderful, wonderful things, not only in the prison community, but outreach into the community also. And I think we have to go back to our talking about KBOO membership drive. Amy, you want to take that on?
Yeah, thanks. So, you're hearing some important information right now on KBOO about what's going on in Oregon, and you're hearing the voices of people who have been impacted by our laws here in Oregon. And that's the type of programming that you get at KBOO, community radio station, community voices who are telling you the truth, sometimes the hard truth, the things you wish you didn't know, that, people even who are trying to support their families can be stuck in prison for many, many years without the judge being able to think about, wow, this kid was trying to support their family. There's no discretion with Measure 11. The telephone number to call to support KBOO, who brings you this information, is 877-500-5266. You can also go online to kboo.fm. And you can find the donate button there. The reason that you're listening to this program right now is because thousands of people have already donated to the station. I think it's about 80% of the money that we get here is directly from our listeners. And so it really is you and your neighbor and the person stuck in the car in the traffic next to you, as I mentioned about the traffic, them also calling in to donate to KBOO to keep us on the air. And one thing to know too is that we do offer free training for people to become journalists, to learn about how to use the equipment at the radio station. That's how I'm here. That's, I think, how Karen's here too. Learning, we came to KBOO. We took the trainings on how to do audio production and how to interview people. And we're just trying to do our part to get the information that needs to get out there. That's why we're here talking to you today about a bill that's getting voted on tomorrow about how we might reform Measure 11 for youth offenses. And the number to call to support this type of programming is 877-500-5266. Wondered if you had something you want to jump in.
Well, I don't know. Has anyone out there heard about this on their mainstream media, that there's a bill, this very important bill, that is affecting Oregonians, that is affecting your children? and your loved ones. That's happening on the Senate floor tomorrow.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Like, I've got a daughter. She's pretty young. But still, like, if we can do something to change this now, like, it can do something good for our future generation if we can get this bill passed. I mean, maybe people feel like that with every bill that's out there. But really, if we can pass this bill, Senate Bill 1008, that would be a good thing for our criminal justice system here in Oregon.
But right now, we'd like you to call KABU and show your support for Prison Pipeline and KABU. Give us a call at 877-500-5266. We'd love to read that thank you list to all of you out there who are listening. You can go online. That's where all our supporters are. They're online donating right now. I just know it. At kabu.fm, and you click on the little, is it still a tip jar on the website?
I can't remember. I think it says donate.
It says donate now or something like that. And, well, it's very prominent. You can't miss it on the website at kboo.fm. But yes, and if you enjoy what you're hearing, if you enjoy Democracy Now, which we bring you at 7 o'clock in the morning and at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, and this is a testament to the fact that this is your radio station. We tried a different program at the 4 o'clock spot from Monday through Friday, and because we kept Democracy Now at 7 o'clock in the morning, and we have it at 4. But we tried something else at the 4 o'clock hour. And boy, KABU members yelled loudly, and KABU listened. And we brought Amy Goodman back in, and Juan Gonzalez back in on the 4 o'clock hour. This is your radio station. You make this happen. All of your donations here keep us on the air, keep the lights on, keep the mics on. Keep the doors open and the board up, lit up, the phones. And we would love to hear from you. Call now, 877-500-5266.
Yeah, and I've got some great ideas of how much money you might decide to donate to us. So say if you are looking for a beanie, or there's a nice hat that says KABU on it, or a tote bag, you get either of those for a minimum of $60 donation, which would be $5 a month. We talked about Democracy Now. You could get a Democracy Now t-shirt or a Press Watch t-shirt for a minimum donation of $120, which adds up to just $10 a month. You could get a KABU t-shirt for $75 donation, which would be $6.25 a month, or the hoodie for $25 a month. The reason I'm talking about all these cool things that you could wear or carry around with you is that you can get those as a thank you when you donate to KABU. And if you do, you can be broadcasting with your body the information that you care about, the radio station that you care about, KABU Community Radio. So that's another, you know, a benefit for us too. When you donate and you get this thank you gift, you're also able to then start the conversation about KABU Community Radio, turn more people onto it. It's 90.7 FM. I'm sure you know that since you're listening right now. And the telephone number to call right now to make a donation is 877-500-5266. You can go online at kboo.fm. And you know, I feel like we probably hit our pitch break goal for the amount of time that we're talking. So I want to just turn back to the important information that we're talking about in Prison Pipeline tonight. And I wanted to talk a little bit about OregonLegislature.com, which Karen has mentioned. And this is the website that you've got to go to figure out who .gov. Thank you. OregonLegislature.gov. That's where you can find out who your state representative, your state senator is. And they've got a different website, whether you go mobile or you're on a desktop. But you go to OregonLegislature.gov, and on your computer, you scroll down, it's on the right side. On your phone, you scroll down, it's at the bottom. Click find your representative, find your legislator. You have to enter your address. Once you do that, something's going to pop up, show you a map. You're going to see the districts outlined. You can change the heading to figure out who your senator is, who your House representative is within Oregon. At the top, it shows, you know, who our state senators are. You can also see your congressional representative for the U.S. House of Representatives. And all of those representatives there on the OregonLegislature.gov, once you do the Find Your Legislator option, you'll see their telephone numbers, you'll see their addresses.
Let's just email your senators.
Yeah, and okay, you can
tonight,
email
them. Tonight, yes, or tomorrow morning. They convene, the Senate convenes at 11 a.m. tomorrow, and they will be voting on Senate Bill 1008. Now, this requires a two-thirds vote, so we're urging you to call your senators tomorrow. And I do want to say that this bill is not retroactive, so it will not affect any people in custody at this time. But as Amy said, it's going to affect kids coming up, kids growing, kids still doing stupid things that, you know, it's part of growing up. But do we need to be putting them away for 6, 7, 12 years in prison? So again, OregonLegislature.gov, and find your senator. The phone number is there. The email is there. So Robert, what else do you want to add to your experience in incarceration? I don't know.
I guess for myself, my story is just one vessel. Like, I'm only one experience. There's hundreds of young people that go through this. As of recent, me and a coworker, we've actually been going to high schools, Portland Public Schools, and we do a survey where initially it's the whole idea of Measure 11 being a deterrent. For something to be a deterrent, you have to know about it. And what we've learned from our surveys is a high percentage of these young people have no idea what Measure 11 is. So when getting in trouble, that's when they first get their first insight on it. And the old saying is, I'd rather be prepared and know something comes, you know what I'm saying, than rather it happen and not be prepared. So you have to kind of look at it with all these different things that apply. Brain science, kids acting like kids, their frontal lobe not being fully developed till they're 25. So you put that in a theory, that's where the impulse is being controlled. So these kids, yes, they are cognitively functioning as adults, but they're still wired as young people, so they're doing different things. Then they get in trouble, not knowing, hey, I'm acting as my biological body is telling, you know, me as yeah. I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And instead of slapping me on the wrist or teaching me a lesson, you not only take me from a young innocent shell, and granted, crimes and whatever you want to see it as, but these are young innocent beings that just like any kid fall, scrape their knee, get up. But it's like you fall, you scrape your knee, we're cutting it off.
and we're not saying don't hold people accountable.
I'm definitely not
saying this, but what we're saying is that these sentencing laws are excessive.
Oh yes,
they're excessive, and let's match the time to the crime.
Yes.
And as you both said, you got it. After a few, you know, after a while, you got it. Mm-hmm. It you realize you did something wrong, and you've both changed your life around. Now, talk a little bit more about when you go into the Portland Public Schools. And Kenny, you do that also. You go into the Portland Public Schools and talk to the students. What do you say to them? And what's the reaction? You said they aren't aware of Measure 11.
They are not
aware.
It's
not a deterrent. Mm-mm.
No, actually, a lot of the kids, they don't know what it is. We give out surveys first, and, you know, there's no right or wrong. We just want to see what they know. And usually when we get it back, it's like, just like how we figured, like, they didn't know anything about it at all. Some kids can relate to my story because they've, like, had a cousin or a brother or an uncle that was taken away, you know, at a young age and was gone for a long time. But
so many people are affected by this. And it's not only, you know, the youth. It's the family, the community, the school, the friends. I mean, a wide net is cast when a youth is trapped under this Measure 11.
And the old saying is it takes a community or it takes a village to raise a child. So if you think about that, this child is being affected again. The village is being affected by this mishap. It's unfortunate. And I don't want to knock while being incarcerated. There was up times and there was bad down times. And there was resources available. And I can vouch of taking full advantage of that. But again, when you're not being able to see the light at the end of the tunnel, like a lot of these individuals are or aren't, the stagnant air, the stagnant place that you're in, again, I don't care. It's whatever I'm doing day for day. So the incentive for these resources or to do better, it's just like, it's another weight or it's another just burden on the shoulders.
And I want to say also that Multnomah County District Attorney Rod Underhill, at least he is ending youth as adults under Measure 11 to some degree.
He's modifying it.
So the district attorneys in Oregon do have, they can be doing something to not try youth as adults. And, Kevin Barton from the district attorney from Washington County and John Foote, district attorney from Clackamas County, and these other district attorneys have to step up to the plate too. In the absence of failed attempts to reform Measure 11, they can be doing other things. There's other sentencing laws that they could be using instead of Measure 11 that require a little more involvement, they're expensive, but there's other things that can take extenuating circumstances into consideration.
And also with Measure 11, again, it takes the power out of the judges' hands.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of judges that out of Multnomah County that I work with daily because of individuals I work with. And their whole motive is not to get these young people back into the system, but how can we work on a plan for your success?
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean out of house placement would be the best? Can we work with the families? Are there resources that are available that we can help your family and put you all in a better position? Yeah. Let's look at the whole scope rather than look at this one incident. This incident happened for a reason. A tree just doesn't happen. There's a root to it. So, with this, it kind of takes away from looking at the root. It takes away the humanity of it. And again, it is inhumane for you can't smoke cigarettes. You can't get cigarettes. You can't get any tobacco until you're 21. You can't enter the army until you're 18. But when you're 15, we can lock you up as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make sense.
It's insane. And talk about when you were released from the Oregon Youth Authority. You served your time.
Yes.
But you really don't. You still have all of these barriers that you're facing, employment and housing. Talk about that, Kenny.
Yeah, this is something that I run into all the time. just being home. I haven't even been home for a year yet. I've been trying to get I've tried to get a mentoring job. I tried to be a street level outreach gang worker, and I run into the same thing every time. The fact that I'm on parole, or the fact that I have a felony on my adult record, even though this happened when I was 15, 16. Housing, I can't live in certain areas, in the areas that I would be allowed to live in. It's nothing. It's a bunch of crime around it, so it puts you in a position to where, you can get in trouble again. It's just unfair. The fact that this all happened when I was underage, and now that I'm an adult, I finished my time, I'm coming home, and I'm still doing time pretty much.
There's still no light at the end of that tunnel either.
Right.
Yeah. So, and Robert, what have you experienced coming home?
My take was very unusual and peculiar. Granted, I was blessed with different individuals who were placed into my life that helped me go in a different kind of direction. I ended up, as soon as being released, I was working as a consultant for a nonprofit. But I, within actually the first month, or first couple of days, honestly, of me being released, I got hired by a company, or I got hired by the store, I got fired by the company. The store fought for me again, and then the company fired me again due to my record. And then now, again, I'm going on 27. This happened when I was 17. 10 years plus, I'm still finding barriers now when I want to live in a good neighborhood. For the simple fact, I do have two felonies over my record. Couple jobs that I wanted in college. I was much bigger at a different point in time and wanted to do some bouncing for some of the bars in the UO area. I couldn't because I had a record and I couldn't go through their whole program. You're doing a sentence after your sentence. And it's a We can go a lot deeper. There's so many levels to it, in which holds you down, and it keeps you within a certain bracket. It keeps you within a certain level, and to rise out of that is very, very difficult.
Yeah. So we are urging everyone to please call your Oregon senator. Go to OregonLegislature.gov. And you can find your legislature. If you don't know who represents you, there's a map. You can click on it and find out who to contact. In they have it. It's a wonderful website. Your legislature, your senator will come right up. His phone number will be there. His or her phone number and the email will be right there. Email them tonight because they are going to vote tomorrow on Senate Bill 1008. I called my senator today and he actually emailed me back and said he will be voting on Senate Bill 1008. So that's wonderful. And I called earlier and their staff people said that, well, he was waiting to hear what his constituency thought about the bill. So they are waiting to hear from you. And, you know, if you're still not convinced, I want to throw out some statistics here for you. Joseph O'Leary, who is the Oregon Youth Authority director, he testified last month before the Senate Judiciary Committee about these bills before the legislature. And the Oregon population, he talked about the racial and ethnic groups, the Oregon population, and then the Oregon Youth Authority population. So for African Americans, the Oregon population is 4%. But the Oregon Youth Authority population is 16%. 4% population, there, but 16% are locked up. The Latino youth, the Oregon population is 21%, but the OYA population is 36%. And the Native American youth, the Oregon population is 2%, and the OYA population, or the Oregon Youth Authority population, is 4%. So communities of color are disproportionately overrepresented in the Oregon Youth Authority. So please give your senators a call. This is, we don't know when another chance will come along to do some very minor and sensible changes to Measure 11 here in Oregon. This has been on the books, folks, for 25 years. It's about time that we make a change here in Oregon. I have a little announcement, too, from the Columbia River Correctional Institution. Now, this is our prison here, Northeast Sunderland Avenue in Portland. And Open Hearts, Open Minds does some wonderful programming inside the prisons here in Oregon, and they have a talent show. CRCI in Portland has a talent show on Wednesday, May 1st, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. The public is welcome to attend. It's music focused with hip hop, metal, folk, and pop and some poetry and spoken word. You can email with your full legal name, date of birth, and driver's license number. You have to email that by April 22nd, so CRCI could run a LIDS check. Email mojdehi@gmail.com. Now, this has been Prison Pipeline on KBOO 90.7 FM. I want to thank our guests, Robert White.
Thank you for having me.
And Kenneth McGee. Thank you so much for being here. We hope the bill passes tomorrow. Thank you, Amy.
Go out and vote.
Yes. And listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. And thank you to Miles, our new engineer. Thank you so much, Miles. And thank you all for listening. Call your senators.
And KBOO, 877-500-5266. Thank you very much for donating.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. Up next is Hard Knock Radio.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who have donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Junior's Cafe, located in the Hosford-Abernathy neighborhood at 1742 Southeast 12th Avenue. Serving breakfast and brunch with vegan and gluten-free options, Junior's is open Thursday through Tuesday, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. or later. Lunch was provided by New Cascadia Traditional, located in Central Eastside Portland at 1700 Southeast 6th Avenue. New Cascadia Traditional is open daily for breakfast through late lunch and provides a wide variety of bread with gluten-free options. Dinner was provided by Grasa, with two locations in downtown Portland and the Alphabet District. Specializing in fresh pasta and traditional Italian salads, both Grasa locations are open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm/give right.